You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Monday, June 9th, and there was a whole lot happening in the sports world over the weekend.
Yes.
This morning, the Celtics will wake up with another win. And it's likely, so will the NBA. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, the passing of famed sportscaster Jim McKay. For 40 years, he was the face and voice of ABC's wide world of sports. And for decades, he took Americans through 12 Olympics, including the 1972 Summer Games in Munich, where Palestinian terrorists kidnapped 11 Israeli athletes. Here's McKay covering that.
There were 11 hostages. Two were killed in their rooms yesterday morning. Nine were killed at the airport tonight. They're all gone. The Israeli Olympic team is destroyed, much of it. Some of their officials.
That was Jim McKay in 1972. David Zirin is the author of A People's History of Sports in the United States. He's joining us. Good morning, David.
Hey, great to be here, guys. Thank you.
What's Jim McKay's legacy, you think?
Jim McKay's legacy is that sports journalism can rise to the occasion to actually be journalism and not merely exist in the world of sports. It's interesting that a lot of people attribute that idea that sports journalism can transcend sports to people like Howard Cosell because of his association with Muhammad Ali in the 1960s. But if you really look at the sort of journalist who could rise to the occasion on the TV medium, it really is. It begins with Jim McKay, and people like Bob Costas, Bryant Gumbel, I mean, they really owe their careers, the kind of sports careers that they've been able to carve for themselves, to Jim McKay.
But even given that, though, it seems, Dave, that McKay's in a class by himself. I mean, he really had that anchor voice, that hold still, history is happening before our eyes here kind of ability to transcend news and sports. I mean, when he was anchoring those broadcasts from the 72 Olympics, Munich Olympics, there was no question that you would stay with the sports guy.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I mean, like he laid the foundation. Yep. And it's interesting, like, who his producer was back in those days was Rune Arledge,
yes.
Who later became an absolute pioneer, of course, in just mainstream TV news broadcasting and production. And it really,
you know,
part of the team and the groundwork that changed TV news forever.
And part of McKay's legacy is that his son is running CBS.
Yep, McManus.
Sean McManus.
And I think that should really say something. But Jim McKay, an absolute class act, the kind of person who would never overwhelm the story, but who could illuminate the story, and a person who I think is an unsung hero for people who want to see sports journalism be something that transcends mere sports and actually speaks to the real world, you know, that pesky real world that the sports world inhabits.
Well, we've got
weekend. We do, but and Sean McManus, we should just say, is not only the head of CBS News, but he's also the head of CBS Sports. We sort of merged what his father was involved with and what Rune Arledge was involved in. Also this weekend, the racehorse at Belmont, Big Brown, not only didn't win, David,
right?
He came in last. What happened?
Well, this is great. I've been actually looking forward to talking to you guys about this. Because, as you know, I've written a lot about issues of steroids in Major League Baseball. Yet there's far less discussion about steroids in horse racing. But before we go there to the big, bad, anabolic world in horse racing, we should keep in mind that this should remind us how difficult it is to win the Triple Crown in horse racing. It's one of the most difficult things in sports. It's only happened 11 times in history. It hasn't happened in 30 years since affirmed in 1978. And yet, in this case in particular, I mean, if you look at Big Brown, I mean, this is someone who, like a lot of these horses in these big races, took steroids. It's on something called Winstrol. And it's interesting. There are three states where it's legal to take steroids. I'm not going to ask you on the air to guess what three states those are. I'll just tell you here. But those three states are New York, Maryland, and Kentucky, the three states where the Triple Crown is.
Right, there you go.
Did-a-ding! You know, and this is the deal with what happened to this deal with Big Brown. The trainer, who's a bit of a, let's just call him eccentric here, he was telling the world, he said, well, my horse doesn't need Winstrol. We're going to get rid of his cycle for last month. He doesn't need his cycle. He can do it all by himself. And then now they're wondering, did he have a crack in his hoof? Gee, was he just not in the mood to race the other day? And I think what you're going to see in the next year, a year from now, maybe 2 years, but you're going to see steroids completely banned from horse racing, because what it ends up doing, actually, it's incredibly cruel to the horse. And it's interesting how when it exposes itself isn't a race like Belmont. It's by far, it's over a mile long. It's an incredibly grueling race for a horse, especially a three-year-old. Horses aren't even up to maturity, for goodness sake.
And, David, we're probably going to find out a little bit more about exactly what unfolded for Big Brown. Just want to note really quickly a surprise at the French Open. Spain's Rafael Nadal whipped the Swiss Roger Federer, cleaning up 6-1, 6-3, and 6-0. We only have a few minutes. The Lakers and the Celtics. Celtics are two games ahead, right?
As someone who was born and raised in New York City, this is so painful for me to see. But I want to say something to the Lakers-Celtics here. This is the biggest opportunity for the NBA to reclaim an audience of people over 35. Because, there is a huge nostalgia factor. Because with the Lakers, you have the Hillary Clinton of the NBA and Kobe Bryant. Everybody has an opinion about Kobe. You either love him or you hate him. He is Hillary Clinton. And just like Hillary Clinton, everybody loves him. They tune in to see Hillary. They'll tune in to see Kobe. And this is the hottest ticket in sports. Rumor has it Jack Nicholson paid $70,000.
$70,000. And you know what, David Zirin, writer for SportsIllustrated.com and author? We want you to stay by your phone because we're going to be calling you again to give us the update on what's happening in the sports world. Thank you.
I guess David thinks that Pierce is the Barack Obama then of the series.
Tragically, yes.
All right. Okay. More about that later.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.